I'm here with my dad, Charles. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We're in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And Dad, last week we started our series on marriage, and I have a feeling we're going to be in this for a while because there's a lot to talk about.
Well, it's not really all that big of a subject.
Right. So, but with that said, today we're going to talk about 1 plus 1 equals 1. Now, mathematically, people have said that's absurd, especially the culture.
It is mathematically
in the world,
absurd.
Right.
Yeah.
But to say that 1 plus 1 equals 1 from a biblical perspective, it makes perfect sense.
That's
and we're
exactly going to
get
right.
into that.
In the context of what we're talking about.
Right. It's a wonder that we experience, those of us who are in marriage, and even those who can view it from the outside. Obviously, when two people get married, they are still two people. We understand that. We're not stating something that's still not obvious. But when they get married, there is a oneness that happens. And this is what makes marriage incredibly wonderful. So we want to understand the significance of what happens when we get married. And so that's really what we're talking about today, that oneness. We're going to be building from Genesis 2, 18 to 25. What will guide us through this is just three things that will guide us, and we can kind of jump into there. The permanent commitment of marriage, the peculiar fellowship of marriage, and then the personal intimacy of marriage. And as our listeners will know from last week, we're already beginning to kind of delve and expand more of what we talked about
right.
last week. So first of all, the permanent commitment of marriage.
Right. There is no relationship and commitment as strong or as significant as that in marriage. Now, when I say as strong, I have to pause and explain. Some marriages don't have strong commitment. But
right.
that's what is described for us in the first marriage, the very beginning. And
so the bond that we have there, there's not much else you can find in this
except
life.
Except salvation and our bond with
right,
Christ,
right.
yes. And that's
but on this
all.
Earth.
Yeah.
Not
earthly
just
relationships, yes.
Spiritually speaking, but also physically. And there's nothing much stronger than this.
And it's permanent.
Right.
It is meant to be a permanent thing till death parts us.
You brought something out, and you're probably going to talk about this a little bit, that when we were talking about all this before we came on, that I found very interesting. So the first time that God said something was not good was when man was alone.
Yep, the first after
so,
then, he saw it, and it was good. He saw this, and it was good. But then when he said, saw man alone, he said, this is not good. Now, I don't want to try to explain too much of that.
Right,
but,
I don't know if we can.
It is, as they say, what it is. And,
right.
And so, yeah, so God's seeing the need for a relationship here that is different than all other relationships.
I mean, after all, when he created everything and Adam is naming everything, in particular the animals, everybody, and I say everybody, I use that term loosely, everybody's got somebody except Adam.
Yeah.
You know, I
yeah.
mean, Adam's going along, he's naming all these animals, and it becomes very apparent
right.
that he's the only one that doesn't have anybody.
Right. And it's interesting that God brings the animals into this, and Adam is giving them names, but he doesn't find among the animals someone suitable for him.
And it's even more interesting that that's logical. Like, you know, bestiality
right.
is something that is in our culture and happens. But he's looking at this and going, there's nothing around here that fits me.
Right. Animals are sexual creatures.
Right.
But they're not humans.
Right.
And so Adam here is God showing, kind of setting Adam up, really.
Yeah.
In a sense, because he looks at all this, there's nothing found there that's a suitable helper.
Right. So kind of moving along here, we've got this permanent commitment of marriage. A couple of things here is the life-changing procedure and the life-changing principle. What do we mean by
well,
that?
Well, of course, our conversation has led up to this life-changing procedure. And when God has formed Adam from the ground, he has formed the animals from the ground, and Adam's named the animals, but now he embarks upon, if you want to say it that way, if you want to use an anthropomorphism or a human kind of way of talking about God, as he embarks on a surgical procedure.
Yeah.
And he takes a rib, he opens up Adam, takes his rib out, closes him back up, and he makes the woman, not out of the ground, but out of the man.
Yeah, because at that point he had formed the animals from the ground, and then he had formed Adam from the ground,
right.
and now all of a sudden he forms Eve from man.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting that you note that, because institutionally speaking, that's important when it comes to the whole placement or where our roles are as men.
Well,
and women.
If you go to Paul, he refers back to that. We ought to say that's why the literal account of Genesis is so important. The first 11 chapters, Paul refers to it and says, "The woman was not formed first, but the man.
Right.
And the woman was not made for man was not made for the woman, but the woman for the man.
Right.
And so, woman was made from man, and she was made for man.
And people really have a hard time with that, especially now in our culture of confusion. They're really struggling with that, and I think we have to realize is that it's not like we've destroyed the value of each person. We're just talking about the roles, because the roles does not define the value necessarily.
Each role is valuable.
Right.
Yeah. And it's interesting that God formed someone that was complementary, that was physically, sexually complementary, emotionally complementary.
Which kind of already pushes us into that next point of a life-changing principle.
Right. So now we have a man, that, and God has formed for him a woman, and Adam calls her woman, as we'll see later, because she was formed from the man. But there's a principle involved here, and that is God created a man and woman for each other, in particular the woman for the man.
Right.
But the principle is a man for a woman and a woman for a man.
Right.
One man for one woman for life.
And he was amazed. I mean, I think that's, you know, we often talk about how men are amazed at women and vice versa, but
and
he was incredibly amazed.
Well,
by
he,
what
hadn't,
God
he had never seen one before. So
right.
we see them all the time. He hadn't
right,
seen one
right.
before. This is all new to him. But there's some of that in our own relationships as men and women. When we get to know someone to the point that we say, this is somebody I want to spend my life with.
Right.
This is all new, but it's certainly new to Adam. And so he says, wow, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. I'll call her woman.
So this is really where we're starting to see the oneness principle, the 1 + 1 = 1, the complementarian principle, as we theologically call it, as we biblically, evangelicals, we call it. And we see this permanent commitment.
Right. And so there's a principle of honor we need to latch on to. They were made for each other.
Right. So we talked about the permanent commitment, but now we're talking about the peculiar fellowship of marriage.
And there is in marriage there really is no earthly fellowship that compares to that of husband and wife. It is really peculiar. You know, it is peculiar in that it is unique. The fellowship of marriage is not supposed to be the same as guys who are buddies.
Right, because I know you said men have buddies, and we could even say women have girlfriends. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of how it is with the friendship level. But it's not the same.
Right.
It's not even close.
And the one of the things that we brought up, we talked about before we came on, is that young women and even older ones need to take this very seriously. What we see is sometimes in Christian circles, and it can happen certainly outside the church, but as women start to express affection in ways that ought to be reserved for the marriage, you don't do some of the things in a female-female relationship that a male-female relationship brings
about. Well, it's
about.
Not healthy, and I think what I was referring to when you and I were talking about it is that there's this idea among single Christian women who are not married yet, who want to be married. There's this idea that they can somehow maybe emotionally fulfill what's lacking and what was designed to be fulfilled in a marriage relationship. Now, I'm not saying in any way that they are going to get married or they should get married so they can fulfill that. Maybe God doesn't have that for them. But they certainly are not supposed to be fulfilling this in a unhealthy and unbiblical way.
No, marriage is peculiar in that sense. The male-female relationship is peculiar in that sense. We certainly need to exalt that difference and that peculiarity.
So we're talking about that. What are some of the peculiar aspects of this?
Well, there are two things that I think stand out here in this account. One is friendship.
What do you mean by that? Friendship.
Well,
I mean,
it's
like,
not good for men.
For us, I think we may not understand that in the relation to marriage.
It's not good for man to be alone. Now, just on the surface, you could say, well, man needs a companion. That's certainly
right.
True. But there's much more to this than a companion. And we're going to see that as we go through the rest of this before we're through today. But there is companionship. There is friendship. There is relationship. And God made the woman for him. He made a friend for Adam. I think we need to think in those terms as men and women. This person needs to be a friend, my friend, in ways no one else can be my friend.
A lifelong friend.
Right.
We're in this together. And I think it's peculiar because it's not like any other relationship that we've already spoken of or friendship that you have. For obvious reasons, physically speaking.
Right.
But even what you share with one another, I know that there are things that I tell my wife that I don't tell anybody else.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I just don't.
Right.
I don't even tell my brother, whom I'm very close with.
Yeah.
I don't even tell you, my right. dad, because I'm very close with. You right. know, I mean, there are just things exactly. that we talk about.
Yeah. There are things and that I talk okay. with my wife about. You, I mean, people. Some people who listen to us don't know how close we are.
Right.
You know, but there are things I talk to my wife about. I don't share with you.
Yeah, and that's okay. Yeah. That's the way it should as be. It should
yeah.
be.
Yeah.
You know.
Or with anybody else for that.
But there should be that safety in that relationship.
My wife relates things to me.
Right.
Tells me things. She doesn't want me to share with anybody else.
Yeah. Maybe she'll say it to somebody, but not relate it to them as she related it to you.
So there is this friendship that is unique to marriage, and then there's harmony. Harmony. In marriage is absolutely essential, which means we need to be working toward it. But fellowship is more than just companionship. There needs to be this harmony. That means we're going in the same direction. This, you know, it's never perfect. We're always working on it, but harmony.
This one's kind of hard.
It is.
Because
different.
We know, everything human and even demonic works against this.
It does.
Like, we're running up against a battle each and every day.
And we know. And you can hear men and women, well, we're so different, there's no way we're ever going to understand each other. You know, well, yes, there is. I mean, we're commanded to. I mean, Peter says, dwell with your wives according to knowledge in an understanding way. It's interesting, Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless they are agreed?
Mm.
Now, the agreement is not so much in all the details. We'll have disagreements there.
Right.
The agreement is in the direction we're going. We're
the
going
overall
somewhere.
Vision, I would yeah. say, the overall understanding of where we're going. And I think, would you not say this is true, that male leadership, even female submission, everything that we do should be pointed toward that direction of
yes.
harmony? And
I think so. Yes.
Everything that we're about should be, that should motivate us.
Yes. We're moving together toward Christ likeness, toward the will of God, toward the glory of God, toward the good of God's people,
and showing who God is through our relationship.
Yeah. So yes.
Okay, so we've talked about the permanent commitment, the peculiar fellowship, and now the personal intimacy of marriage. And I think this one, personally, I think it gets misunderstood in so many different ways that I don't even know if we have time to go on it here right now, because we're running short on time. But
well, and we'll talk more about it.
Right.
This
right.
is just an introduction to it. Intimacy, most of us, especially us men, we think of intimacy. We think of the physical
Sex.
Relationship. Well, that's certainly part
out
of
there,
it.
Yeah.
And that is an intimate act.
Right.
But we just go through some things that with regards to intimacy and how we grow in this intimacy. Well, it's a growth in the understanding of one another. We talked about that a little bit in the other point. We want to grow in this understanding.
And you and I have talked about this a lot, but I feel like, and I don't think it's just younger generation, it's the same problem across the board, but I feel like guys in particular, they get married probably with the wrong perspective going into it, even Christian guys.
Often, yes.
And then all of a sudden they're amazed by the fact that women think differently than they are, act differently, don't are not wired the same.
Want something different.
And instead of seeking to walk in understanding as we are commanded, it's almost like, well, they're just weird. And I'm not going to understand
yeah,
it. And
yeah.
you make jokes about it. And I get yeah. it. We laugh about things and we laugh about the differences.
I always say, you know, I've been married for...
Right.
40 years, and I still don't understand women. And there's some truth. There's a measure of truth to that. But
I want to say to them, what did you just sign up for?
Yeah. We need to be careful there. Yeah.
You know, grow. Pursue her. That should be your goal.
Yeah. And it's not just a matter of figuring the other gender out.
Right.
It's a matter of understanding from a biblical perspective.
Because my wife's different than your wife. You see what I'm saying? Like, yeah. and,
right.
and the other guy's next to me.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Right?
So there's this growth in understanding of one another. There's a growth in bonding to one another. You should be one flesh. Now that's speaking of the one flesh sexual relationship that really makes there's no you're not supposed to be one flesh with more than one person.
Right.
That's all that's a big perversion. But we're bonding not just sexually, physically, but emotionally and intellectually. When I say intellectually, I don't mean both have to be brains.
Right.
But we are thinking together. We are talking together, communicating together. We're growing in this bonding. A man shall leave, for this cause, in this passage, a man shall leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife. And a lot of the responsibility is put on the man there.
Right.
So men, we need to take it seriously. But it's not all ours. Cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So there's a bonding here that's not just physical. Certainly he is, but that's not all there is to it. And the physical relationship itself is not just all about pleasure, although it's certainly a large part of it. But if it's just about us getting pleasure, then it's going to hurt our intimacy in other areas.
So then there's really that naturally leads to the growth in love for one another, because that's what we want to grow in our love and our ability to
grow in biblical love for one another. Mm-hmm. And that becomes sacrificial. That becomes laying aside our rights. That becomes carrying a cross. That becomes learning to love in spite of the deficiencies of the other person, which there are plenty.
Yeah, because, and you said this, if it's only for pleasure that we are being intimate with our wives, then the pleasure will be hindered because we're doing it for the wrong reasons.
And the pleasure will hinder our genuine love and intimacy. So we want to, really, that physical relationship is an outgrowth of a greater love. And who knows? I mean, something could happen to stop the physical relationship.
Right. So what are you going to do then?
Somebody could be ill, become paraplegic, but any number of things could happen. Yeah. Now what are you going to do? Mm. You better love the person. You
know? Yeah. So I know we're kind of over our time here, but you kind of have some conclusions that I think are practical that we'll just kind of end with here that will help us as we work through these issues.
Yeah, four things, and this is certainly not exhaustive, but first, make a lifetime commitment. This is what marriage is, a lifetime commitment. And then make your mate your best friend. This is a communicate. Husbands communicate, especially husbands. Women like to communicate. Men aren't so much. But both need to communicate. And then deepen your knowledge of your mate. Share your secrets. Find out fears and hopes and desires. Deepen your knowledge of one another. Grow in your loving and understanding of one another. And then finally, invest yourself in your mate selflessly. It's not what your mate can do for you. It's what you can do for your mate. And I think these things will help. They're not exhaustive, but they'll certainly help us move in the right direction.
I think it's a good place to end.
And to start.
That's right. Well, we thank you for joining us today. We look forward to you being with us next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision Believing Ministries. This is a free resource, but if you would like to support us, you can do so by visiting visionforliving.org/support. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website, where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/V4L. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the gospel for today.